Okatov, and welcome back to another in our ongoing series of Shiurim HaDaf Yomi. We are now in Masachet Yevamot Daf Kuf Yod Gimel Amud Bet, near the top of the Amud, at the word Nishtateit. And as promised, this is the second half of the Perek, the whole Perek being done in two podcasts. And so we will be referring back all the time to the Mishnayot that represent the beginning of the Perek. The first Mishnah indicated that if a man married a woman and then nishtateit, she became, she lost her mind, as it were, then he cannot divorce her. As opposed to if she became a chersha, and this is what we discussed in the last podcast, why the distinction. But now we're going to talk about the status of a shota herself, somebody of diminished mental capacity, and why she cannot be divorced. We're going to see that there's really three gradations here. Amar Yitzchak, Dvar Torah Shota Mitkareshet. Yitzchak says that mid oraita a shota can be divorced. Mid havia pikachat bal korcha, just like an able woman can be divorced without her consent. You don't need this woman's dot, and therefore dot doesn't play a role, and therefore the shota is not diminished in any way vis-a-vis divorce. So why did Chachamim say she can't be divorced? Because here you have a woman who was capable. Something happened, a trauma, she lost her mind. And now if she's sent out not protected by her husband, then she's going to be abused and taken advantage of by all sorts of lowlifes. So now, Hechidami, what level of diminished capacity is she? If she's somebody who can also hold on to her get, and is also capable of saying no to men and of protecting herself. So minagiba minakefka, then there's no concern. You know, this is somebody of fairly high functioning retarded, if you will. People are not going to take advantage of her. Ella Daniel Dadishmar Logitavalotsma must be somebody who really can't protect herself, can't hold on to a get, really has no concept of protection or of possession. So Dvar Torah Shotamin Karesh, how can you say that midoraita she can be mitgaresh? Amar ve Rabbianai, Venatan biyada. The pasuk number one on the page was the pasuk about Gittin. Says he writes her a get and gives it in her hand. Mishi yesh la yad the garesh atzma. She has to be somebody who at least has a yad, has some sort of power to be mitgaresh. Yastazu shein la yad the garesh atzma. She doesn't have a yad. You have to give it in her hand, a hand that can hold on to it and that can in some way protect it. V'tan Rabbi Shmuel, we have another reason. V'shelcha mibeito. You have to send her away from the house. Mishi mishalcha ve'ina chuzeret. Has to be somebody that if you send her away, she doesn't come back. She understands that she's not living there anymore. She understands things are different. As opposed to this one who doesn't get it, and you send her away and she keeps coming back. So, mid oraita, she's not in the parsha of divorce. So, So we find a middle category. What's Rabbi Yitzchak talking about? Somebody who can hold on to their get, her get. She understands that she's divorced, and therefore, mid oraita, she can be divorced. But she can't protect herself. She doesn't know how to say no to people. She doesn't understand what they mean. And therefore, Dvar Torah Shota Mitgaresh at Midorah Shota Mitgaresh to Hayudat Lishmor Gita. Because she can hold on to her get. V'yam Rabbanan Lo Livka. But the Rabbanan said, you can't divorce her. Shalin Haguba Min Hagefka. Because then she's going to become taken advantage of. Now, Amar Abaye Dekanami, Abaye says, if you look in the Mishnah, you can see, if you read it carefully, you can see this principle. Diktani gabe dido nishtateit lo yotzi. In the case of the woman, it says if she becomes of diminished mental capacity, then you can't divorce her, lo yotzi. The gabe dide, but in the context of the man, it says that he becomes a cheresh or nishtateh, lo yotzi olamit, he can never be motzi. What's the difference between he can't be motzi and he can't be motzi forever? So that when it says you can't be motzi olamit, you could never be motzi, that means this is a hard and fast rule. She's just not in the parsha anymore. When he says lo yotzi, it means you can't push her out because midrabanan, it's not nice. So that means that we're even covering the woman who is able to be shomer taget but can't be shomer tatzma. She doesn't know how to leave the household, as it were, and then in amit gareshet. Good. At the end of that first Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri challenged the Rabbanan and said, how come if she becomes a cheresh, you can divorce her, but if he becomes a cheresh, you can't divorce? So now, Ibai Elohu, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, Ish Pshitalei, which one of these did he agree with? Was it obvious to him that a man cannot divorce if he's become a cheresh? V'isha kamei ba'ilei, and he was wondering why a woman can't become divorced, is able to be divorced. If she's a cheresh, Odilma, maybe it's the opposite. Isha pshitale. Maybe he says, I understand why you say a woman can be divorced. Isha and Bailey, but I don't understand why you think a man cannot. In other words, is Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri taking the position that a cheresh is competent, and therefore he doesn't understand why if a man becomes a cheresh he can't divorce, or is he taking the position that a cheresh is so incompetent that he doesn't understand why a woman may be divorced? Toshma, so now we get insight into how the connection between Mishnah Bet and Mishnah Aleph. It's important to note, in Mishnah Bet, we have a testimony of Rabbi Yochanan Gudgoda. But his testimony was taken from Masachet Eduyot, and as we saw in the Gemara, it was half of a larger testimony about a chereshet and also about a ktana eating truma. Evidently, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri was quoting that in Mishnah Bet, and that's why the Chachamim's response, Kayotze Bazeh, is really responsible for Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, as we'll see. Toshma Minika Amrulei, the Rabbanan answered back to him when he asked why the distinction. He said, Eino Dome Ha'isha Megarish L'isha Min Kareshet. He said, a man divorcing is not like a woman who's being divorced. Sha'isha Yotzei L'Rtzona V'Shalo L'Rtzona. A woman can be divorced whether she wants to or not. We don't need her dat. Va'isha Demotzia L'Rtzona. But the man, we need his consent and his awareness. In other words, it sounds like Rabbi Yochanan Nuri was challenging about the man and saying, why do you need the man's dot? So adaraba, it's the opposite. Because at the end of Mishnah Bet, when he quoted Rabbi Yochanan Ben Gudgoda, the first half of his edut about the chereshet, and the Chachamim said, yes, that's the exact same case. She was divorced with a get. What he was asking about was, why can't a woman... why is a woman able to be divorced? The idea was because there the kiddushin were d'oraita because the father married her off. And so the answer is no. That's exactly our case. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri divrei kamarlehu. The reality is Rabbi Yochanan Nuri is saying I don't buy this whole picture, but I'm asking according to your approach. Lididi, according to me, kehechad ish lo batz megarish, just like a man cannot divorce if he is a cheresh, meaning he was pikeach when he got married, and then he became a cheresh. A woman also cannot be, because evidently Rabbi Yochanan Nuri requires some level of cooperation and intellection on the part of the woman in a get. Ella ledidchu, but according to you, who say that the woman can be divorced, maishna isha maishna ish. So he thinks it should be consistent, and therefore he thinks that the man should also be able to divorce with this diminished mental capacity of a cheresh. They answered, no, it's not the same. That the man is the active player, and he needs to have full awareness. The woman has to have minimal awareness, just more than a shota. Good, so then we quote a Mishnah Bet, where Rabbi Yochanan Ben Gudgoda had testified, and it was quoted evidently by Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, had testified about the chereshet, that her father married her off, that she later was divorced to beget. Amarava made it told Rabbi Yochanan Ben Gudgoda, from his testimony, we find the following. A man is going to divorce his wife who's a ktana. He turns to the Edim and says, see, it's a get. Then he turns to her. She didn't hear that. And then she says, hold on to this document for me. It's a shtar chov. I need to collect money from it. She doesn't know what it's written on it. It's good gerushin. How do we know that? Didn't Rabbi Yochanan Gugora agree that we don't need her dat because he testified that this girl is a chereshet. And she had full kiddushin d'oraita because her father married her off. Nonetheless, she can accept a full get. So therefore, we don't need her dat at all. So if you give the woman a piece of paper that's really a get and tell her it's a ticket to a ball game somehow, then it's fine. So pshita, our comment to Rava is not, how do you know that? It's obvious. No, the Rava's case is not so obvious, because since the guy said to her afterwards, take the shtar chov, maybe he was canceling the get, and he was saying, hold on to this document for me, really as a shomer, kamash malan, that therefore Rava's teaching us that in a case like that, we don't assume he's changed his mind, because i'ita the batle, if really he had changed his mind, le'edim havi kamar lehu, he would go back to the edim and say, that shtar that I told you before was a get, really isn't a get. I'm not using it as a get. Umidilo amar le'edim, the fact he didn't correct the edim, lo batle mevelo midi, obviously he didn't cancel anything, v'hai deka amar hachi, so why did he say to her, take the shtar chov, why didn't he say openly, it's a get? He was embarrassed. He didn't want to make her feel bad. He couldn't face her for whatever reason. So he said, take the shtar chov, and walks away. And then the Beit Din informs her she's divorced. Now we're going to get into a relative for this parak, long discussion about the role of a katan. And it's a backdoor discussion that's going to take us into cases 1, 2, and 3 of the 6 cases in Mishnah Dalet. Yitzchak Bar Bisna lost the keys to the Beit Midrash per Shutar Abim Shabta. They were somewhere in the public domain, and they were on Shabbat, and he couldn't find them. And, of course, it wouldn't help if he found them, because how would he get them to the Beit Midrash? He can't carry. He came to Rabbi Padat. Amar this, Rabbi Padat gave him advice. It said, Zil, Davar Tali Batalia, go take a young boy or girl. Tell them to go take a walk over there. Just tell them to take a walk. Because if they find keys, they're going to bring them back to you. All right, so now, what did Rabbi Padat obviously maintain? Alma Kasara, Katar Ochel Nevelot, Ein Beit Din Metzuvin Lafrisho, that if a young child, is violating the law, in the case that we're talking about is Chilul Shabbat, but in the index case is a katan is eating tray food, the Beit Din doesn't have any obligation to separate to stop him, which means here you have a katan walking through the Brishut Rabin carrying keys, you don't have to stop him and he can help you out. So perhaps we have support for that position from the following. You shouldn't say to a kid on Shabbos, go bring me a key, go bring me a seal. You leave the kid, but if the kid is doing something like uprooting, or he's throwing the thing to you, you don't stop him. Right? So that seems to support the idea that even if a kid is being mechalel Shabbat d'oraita, like in the case of Rabbi Padat, you let him do it. You don't tell him to, but on the other hand, you don't have to stop him. And if you really need the keys, you could take the kid for a walk, let the kid walk on his own, and if he finds it, knowing he'll bring him back, you don't have to stop him. So Amar Abaye says, no, that's not a proof, because Tolesh Ba'atzit Sheino Nakuv, perhaps the case there where you're Tolesh, where you're uprooting a plant, is talking about uprooting a plant from a potted plant that does not have a hole in the bottom of it. One little digression. There are many areas of halakha where the association between a potted plant and the ground is significant, in Shubaton Masrot, and in Shabbat, and in Shemitah. And if you have an atzitz, it's a pot, she'enon akuv, that does not have a hole in the bottom, that means that all of its nutrients are coming from the dirt that it's in the pot, which means it's not come out of the ground, and that is tolish midrabanan. If somebody has a tomato plant growing in a vegetable bed that's totally disconnected from the ground, and he uproots it on Shabbat, that's an isur drabanan. So Abaye says, yeah, what are we talking about when we say allow the kid to uproot, allow the kid to throw? He's talking about uprooting from an atzit she'enon akuv, and zorek b'charmeli drabanan, he's throwing in an area that is asur midrabanan to carry in an alleyway, a backyard, something like that, an unknown backyard. So we still don't know, that does not prove that if a child is violating an issu d'oraita in public, we allow him to continue, we don't stop him. Toshma, another proof. If there's a fire on Shabbos, you're not allowed to extinguish the fire. A goy comes to put out the fire. You don't tell him put it out, you don't tell him don't put it out. You're not responsible for his actions on Shabbat. You let him do whatever he wants to do. Katana, there are more solutions that we studied in Masechet Shabbat, what to do when you have a terrible fire. Katan habalichbot, if a Jewish kid comes to put out the fire, omrim lo al tachabet, sheshvita to'olem, you tell him not to put out the fire, because, after all, you're responsible for his actions. Well, if that's the case, then we see that you're not allowed to let a katan violate a doraita. So, riochanan be'osel dat aviv, this is talking about a kid who's only going to do what his father tells him. So in other words, he's going because evidently his father told him, go put out the fire, so you got to tell him not to, because now he's operating based on his father's words. Now, if that's the case, the chavateg abavid kochavim do'osal dat Yisrael mishari. So what we're paralleling is the katan, who was acting based on his father's direction, and the goy, what's the parallel to that, must be acting on an adult Yisrael's, on a Yisrael's direction also, and that's not mutar. You're not allowed to tell a goy to put out the fire for you on Shabbat. There's hints, there's ways to say it. So the answer is Ovid Kochav Madatid Nafshi Ovid. This Ovid Kochav is an adult. He's acting on his own. If a Jew said, please come and put out the fires like that, he's still doing it on his own. He's not under your purview, as opposed to your own kid who is. So from here, we don't really have a proof in either direction. Toshma. Say the following. Ben Chaver, meaning there's a boy whose father is a Talmud Chacham. He's a member of the collegium. And therefore, they eat at each other's homes based on the fact that they're all careful about Shuvah to Masrot and about Tumah v'Tahara. Shragil elech etzal avi imo amaretz. Now, his mother is not about Talmid Chacham. His mother's father is an amaretz, somebody who's not that careful about these laws. So, ein choshin shema yechlenu dvarim sheinam tukanim. He's allowed to go there, and we're not concerned that he's going to eat things that aren't meusar. Matzabi adol peyrotin. If you find peyrot in his hands, ein zakuklo. You don't have to do anything like separate Shumot and Masrot from them. You don't have to say, ooh, you came from grandfather's house, and he's not careful, right? And you don't have to take them away from him. You can let him eat. which means it sounds like we're allowing a kid to eat stuff that we assume is not mu'usar, a violation d'oraita, possibly, and we're not doing anything about it. So, v'yochal midmahi keilu, remember that amay ha'aretz, we assume art do separate Shumot and Masorot. We have a chash because a few of them don't, so we instituted the law of Demai. But really, it's not as if we know for sure that this is Tevel. Elatana de Demai, Havadai by Lasure. So now you're going to turn it around and say the only reason that we allow this kid to do it is because it's Demai. If we knew for sure that it wasn't separated, we wouldn't allow him to eat it. We'd enforce separation. If you go back to the story about the putting out the fire, Rabbi Yochanan himself was the one who said, only when the kid is operating on his own father's directive do you have to stop him from violating the law. But here Rabbi Yochanan says that it seems to imply that if it was Vadai Tevel, even if he wasn't operating on his father's directive, you have to separate him. So which is it? So the answer is Rabbi Yochanan Tzfuki Masafkal. Rabbi Yochanan is himself in doubt about what the proper approach is. Kai Hocha Madchi. When he's taking one position, when he's engaging one position, he rejects it. In other words, the position that a katan operating on his own has to be separated, he pushes it away by saying, no, let's talk about when he's operating on his father's directive. Kai hacha, when he's engaging the other position, which is when the katan is operating on his own, he says, this is a drabanan. Good. So, in other words, he himself is not clear on what the proper position is. Toshma, ben chaver kohen. So, we have a parallel case. You have a chaver who's a kohen, and his son, who's able to eat trumot, shagil alech etzel avi imo kohen. His father and his mother are both kohanim, but his mother's father is a kohen al haaretz, who does not care for tumah v'tahara. Ein choshin shamei chilano trumah tmeya. The kid can go to his grandfather's house and eat truma. We're not concerned. His grandfather's going to feed him truma tmeya. And here you can't employ dmai. Matzabia del perote mezakuklo. And if the kid is holding perote that he got from grandfather's house, you don't tell him to throw him away, whatever. So it seems that we allow a kid to violate a doraita eating truma tmeya, and we don't do anything about it. The answer is truma derabanan. That's always an easy thing to answer. He's talking about truma derabanan. If it was truma doraita, then indeed we would stop him. Again, we don't know. Toshmat. A child can be nursed by a non-Jewish woman, they used to nurse from animals, even from a behemat meah. We're not concerned that they're going to give him a sheketz, which really would be a violation for him to do. We're not concerned about that. But you can't give him these non-kosher foods to eat. But the kid on his own can nurse from them, even on Shabbat, which is a separate issue. Uve gadol asur. Alright, but an adult may not. Rabbi Shaul has a side point, which is, we used to have the custom when we were kids of dafka taking milk from a behemah tahora, from a cow, from another animal that's tahora, that's kosher, on Yom Tov. Yom Tov specifically, not Shabbat. And we'll go back to that in a minute. Tani miha inchoshin yonek shekets. And we're not concerned when this kid is being fed by the non-Jewish woman, nursed by the non-Jewish woman, that she's also going to have him be yonek from a sheketz. So the answer is hata mishum sakana. The answer is that there, the kid really is in danger if he doesn't get his milk, and therefore we're lenient. So yachi gadol nami. So if that's the case, then a gadol should also be, and you said a gadol's aser. The answer is gadol bayimduna. Gadol needs a doctor to look at him and say, is this kid really in trouble? Is this man really in trouble? Does he really need to have whatever milk they have? So katan nami libi umduna. So a little kid should also need a diagnosis. The answer is a normal little kid is in the status of being misukan if he doesn't get milk, as opposed to an older person normally isn't. Therefore, unless the doctor says so, we're not lenient. Now, parenthetically, we used to directly suckle from a behemah tahara on Yom Tov. So, heichidami, idika sakana, what's the case? If these people were in danger and had nothing to eat, so afilu b'Shabbat nami. Why are you saying Yom Tov even Shabbat? V'idoleika sakana, if they weren't in danger, afilu b'Yom Tov asur, you're not allowed to do that in Yom Tov. Alright, you're not allowed to do it in Yom Tov because milking, or milking directly, itself is a malachav mefarek. Mefarek tavar mimasao. So, lo tzricha diika tzara, we're talking about a case where a person is somewhat in pain. V'kasavar mefarek kalachar yadu. And Rabbi Shaul maintained that nursing directly is mefarik lachar yad. It's not the normal fashion of doing it, and therefore it's a drabanan. So therefore, Shabbat the isur skila Shabbat, which if done in the full d'oraita manner, you encounter the death penalty. Gazer Rabbanan, the Rabbanan made a gzeira and said, Kalacha Yad, we don't allow, even if you're Bitsar, unless it's a Sakana. Yom Tov, the Isur Lav, but Yom Tov, which is only a Lav, only relative to Shabbat, well, Gazer Rabbanan, they didn't make the gzeira. So we still have not clarified whether a Katan is violating the law must be stopped. Toshma, lo tochlum kisheketzem. Right, Pasuk and Shmini, that kind of sums up a lot of the machalot asurot. What is lo tochlum, lo ta'achilum? You should not feed them. Azir gedolim maktani, meaning elders to their children. So my rav damar lu lo tochlu, doesn't that mean that the father has to say to his kid, don't eat it? Lo, delo lisful lebiadayim, means he can't feed it to him. If the kid's eating it, doesn't have to stop him. Of course, we're not talking about parents educating their children. That's a whole different story. We're talking about the Beit Din is aware that there's a katan who's eating treif stuff. Do they have the responsibility to stop him? Toshma. We now have the Isra of Achilat Dam. Now remember, one of the things about Sheketz is a Sheketz is a lav. On the other hand, a Sheketz has no shear. The smallest amount of Sheketz, you chayav. Dam is karet, far more serious, but dam has a shear of revit. No one, none of you can eat dam, meaning even the gedolim have to make sure the ktanim don't. So my lav dami lo tochlu, doesn't it mean they have to tell them not to eat? Lo, the lo litzvah lo biadam. Again, they can't give it to them. Toshma, we have at the beginning of Parshat Emor, it says, V'amar Shem Moshe, Emor al hakonim b'nei Aaron v'yamarta alehim. Why Emor v'yamarta? Lazir ha'gdolim al ktanim. To make sure that the elder kohanim, make sure that the younger ktanim don't become tamei b'meit. So my love, the Melola Titamu, aren't we talking about where the elders tell the young kids, don't go to that funeral, don't touch that dead body. Look, the Melola Titamu hubi adayim. No, what it means is that the elders can't tell the young kid, here, you go handle the body. That they can't do. So now why do we need three psukim that tell us the same thing that Gedolim cannot push Ktanim, but they may, but by implication, if the Ktanim are involved in the violation, they don't have to stop them. Why di ashmi inan, Diyashmin and Shkatzim, if you only had the pasuk about Shkatzim. I would say, Mishum di Isran v'mashu. Yeah, Gedolim can't give him to Ktanim because the Isser is so chamur because even the smallest amount is. Well, Dam da, Dikar v'it, emalo, but maybe Dam, there isn't a problem because Dam is lighter because you're not chayiv till you have a revit. Viyashmin and Dam, and now let's flip it. If the Torah only said that the Gedolim cannot give the Ktanim Dam, Mishum di karet, sure, it's serious because it's karet, aval Shratzim or Shkatzim, emalo, that's a lav. So I would think that it's not so serious. So now I need both. But I have both. Why do I have Tuma? Because Shkotzim and Dam are something that all Jews have to avoid. Well, Tuma, Emalo, Tuma, which is unique to Kohanim, maybe it's unique to Kohanim. It's only Kohanim who are men. There's an exception in the case of relatives. So maybe Ktanim are not a problem. Yeshmi'in Tuma. And if, let's say all I had was Tuma. So why don't I have Tuma and then Shkotzim and Dam and everything else will be obvious. I would say Kohanim Shan Mishum Dribah and Mitzvot Yeterot. Kohanim are special, they have all sorts of special mitzvot. So kids or Kohanim also, special mitzvah of them staying away. Maybe that doesn't apply to regular Yisrael, staying away from trey food or from dam. Avalhani Emelo, Sricha. So that's why I need all three of them. Toshma, Shnei Achim. So now let's go back to why we have this whole discussion about a Katan, Ochel Nevelot, that started with the Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bista losing his keys in Rishut Rabim on Shabbat and without giving the advice to have Katanim go out and we'll just take a walk, and if they find them and bring them, that's fine. Take a look at our Mishnayot. We're going to go through the first three cases. Shnei Achim, two brothers, Achad Pikeach, Achad Cheresh, right? One is Abel, one is Cheresh. Shnesuin Shnei Achayot Pikchot. And they're married to two sisters who are Pikchot. That means that the Pikeach's marriage is a full Doraita marriage. The Cheresh's marriage is weak. Meit Cheresh Baal Pikachat, Mayaseh Pikeach Baal Pikachat. This is easy. Tetzeh Mishum Achot Isha. So if the Cheresh dies, then his wife is excused because she's Achot Isha. Meit Pikeach Baal Pikachat, if the Pikeach dies, on the other hand, then what happens? Mayaseh Cheresh Baal Pikachat, what should the Cheresh do? Motziat Ishto Beget, he has to divorce his wife with the get that has, of course, the same strength as the Kiddushin that he had. Veishtachiv Asura Leolam. And as we said in the Mishnah in the previous podcast, the Yevamai can never marry anybody because she can't marry him because she's Achot Grushato. And on the other hand, he can't give her Chalitza because of Cheresh. Now, Amai Motzit Ishto Beget. Let's start with the first wife. Why does he have to get rid of his wife? Tetev Gabay, let her live with him. Because after all, Katan Ochel Leveloto, this guy is a Cheresh. He's not Chayav Mitzvot. So therefore, if he's violating Achot Zekukato, okay. So why are we forcing him out? The answer is Mishum Isura Dida, because she's also not allowed to, and she is fully capable. She's a Pikachat. And therefore, we have to enforce the divorce, so she doesn't violate the law. Okay, good. Case two. Toshma shneachin pichinus when shteyachayot. Now the brothers are capable. They're married to two sisters. Achat pikachav achat chereshet. Right? One is capable, one is not. Alright, so now, how does it play out? If the pikeach whose wife is a chereshet died, so then it's easy. So the chereshet falls to her brother-in-law, so she's the sister of his wife. That's it, finished. But, if the pikeach dies, what is the pikeach whose wife is a chereshet, which means his kiddushin are weak? What does he do? He has to divorce his wife. Again, that divorce is fine because he's a pikeach. And he gives chalitza to his... Now the question is, why does he have to divorce his wife? Or he. Let her stay with him. After all, she's a chereshet, and so she's violating the law of achot zekukato. The answer is, mishum isur didei, because he's got an isur. Now, it goes good. Now, Amar Rava Toshma, watch this case. Case number three. Neither one of them have an issue. They're both chershim. Right? One of each, married to one of each, in their own kind. If the mute dies, so what happens? The chereshet falls to the pikeach. That's easy. But if the pikeach dies, now what happens? The pikeach falls to the cheresh, who's already married to her sister, the chereshet. Same deal, he has to divorce his wife, the chereshet, and the pikachat now is stuck. Here, it's a cheresh and a chereshet. Neither one of them is chayiv d'oraita in any of this. And why are we forcing them to get divorced? Here, you can't give the answer before. His is or her is or here, there's neither one of them. It's a precaution against being matar yivam alashuk, because what's going to happen? If they see that this guy continues to live with his wife, they will assume then that the sister is mutter because of achot ishto, and therefore they're going to allow her to marry. And indeed, she's not allowed to marry because she's never been released because his relationship with the chereshet was too weak, and this zika interfered with it. Hodov, hadran ala cheresh, mir tzashem. In the next podcast, we will start the 15th parak, haisha shehalcha. Everybody should have a wonderful day.